Welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by the Better Milk Banana. If you have that good, thick, kind milk that is always sticking to your refrigerated storage bottles, we have the perfect tool for depositing it back into your milk. And today's episode is also brought to you by Sarah's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Tons of expensive landfill plastic and short-term products are so yesterday. And we will hear more from our sponsors later, but our sponsors make this podcast possible. So if you ever need anything, please head to our sponsor page at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and see if you can give them any of your business. And while you're there, you could scroll down and enter your email address and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are on Patreon. We hope that you will join us. We are having a lot of fun over there. It is also a way to support this podcast. And you can find the direct link to the Patreon list of tiers and the different benefits of each tier at the very top link in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. They will have show notes. You can find it there and just click the top link. And let's see, we are also holding our ongoing giveaway for people who leave reviews around the internet. So take a screenshot of your review or your stars or whatever it is and send them to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com along with your address. And we will send you a goodie bag of stickers and various things. And Diane has our review of the week.
I love the knowledge I've gotten from this podcast. It has helped me so much as I prepare to become a first-time mom in a few months, and my biggest goal is to exclusively breastfeed. Thank you guys for what you do, and I 100% recommend this to any and all moms who are or who are planning to breastfeed. So congratulations. And our last two reviews were people that are pregnant. And I love that.
Awesome.
I always say I love when people are pregnant and they listen because you're getting the info, right? Knowledge is power. You're getting the info you need, which I love. And thank you for sharing with everybody else too, because that helps us a lot.
Yeah. And helps them too.
And it helps them too. It's a win-win. Win-win situation. You know, it's not a win-win situation as a nursing strike. That's a lose-lose situation.
That is a lose-lose situation. Yeah. That totally sucks. Or doesn't suck. But yeah, like this is so common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like so many messages come in just like, you know, my baby's gone days without nursing or weeks without nursing. And what am I doing? What can I do?
I'm always like, just keep the faith. They'll come back. Yeah. Like, but people are like, how long? I always get the, how long do I let this go for before I, you know, stop nursing or stop trying or, you know, whatever. I get that a lot. You know what the other thing I find is interesting too, is you never see this with, at least I don't. And maybe there's some lactation professionals listening that can like correct me, but I personally have not seen this with a young baby. Like newborn, like, you know, young, yeah, like under true. 3 months old. I've never seen this with like a little baby. It's always only been an older baby.
Yeah.
Which
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the reasons a baby might go on a nursing strike. They're not really newborn issues.
No, they're not. They're not. And we see it a lot of times. We'll see it like if somebody tells me, you know, having a nursing strike or the baby's not nursing. I mean, there's usually a couple things that I see. I did pull up a really great article by La Leche League, and they have a lot of reasons listed. So I will talk about those as well. But the reasons that I've ever seen have been like they've been sick. The baby's been sick. Or... Yeah. Teething. Those are usually the biggest things that I see. Or, and I guess you could put this in the category of teething. If the baby bites and you kind of screech or yell, but that's kind of a teething thing. So that is, you know, that is something that you see too. And like the baby's scared and you're scared and everybody's scared. And the baby kind of goes on a little bit of a nursing strike because of that. But those are really the biggest things that I have seen. Some of the reasons that they have in here are really good. The first one, I don't think I've ever seen, but if it's in here, it must be something that's happened. You changed your deodorant, soap, perfume, lotion, etc., and you smell different to your baby. You've been under stress, such as having extra company, returning to work, traveling, moving, dealing with a family crisis. Your baby or toddler has an illness or injury that makes nursing uncomfortable. And things like that are like ear infection, a cold, hand, foot, mouth, you know, things like that, that are just uncomfortable for a baby. And they might not nurse well, thrush, things like that, that like affect their mouth. Obviously, ear infections don't affect their mouth, but the sucking does. The sucking can hurt their ears.
That can still hurt. And congestion, like just literally not being able to breathe while they're on. So they're just reflexively opening their mouth.
Yeah. Which, I mean, everybody's always worried about their baby suffocating by the boob, but babies are, if they can't breathe, they come off. And you see that when they're sick, if they have a cold, they're congested.
Yes.
They just don't
That's also why if they've bit down, why you shove them into your boob so that they can't breathe through their nose. And that makes them open their mouth and let go.
Yeah.
They're not going to suffocate.
No, they're not going to suffocate.
Their body is just going to react.
Your baby has sore gums from teething. You recently changed your nursing patterns, maybe because you had to go back to work or something like that. You reacted strongly when your baby bit you and the baby was frightened. You are newly pregnant and your milk supply may be reduced. That happens for sure. Or you're pregnant and your milk supply has changed. The taste of it has changed. Turns back to colostrum again, something like that. You're ovulating and your milk supply may be temporarily reduced. You have been pumping less time or with less frequency when away from the baby. You have been sick and or taking a medication, which can have a negative impact on your supply. I have heard, but I don't know, that things like ovulation, and I should probably do some research on it, ovulation or your period or certain medications can affect the taste of milk. But I don't really know for sure if that's a thing. I would have to do some research
about it. Yeah, how would we know?
Yeah. Somebody researched it, I'm sure, somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Just by getting a bunch of milk and just having a taste test.
I know, having a little taste test of everything. I don't know. People would actually do that. But so those are the reasons that they've kind of put out for nursing strikes. And like I said, the ones that I have seen the most have been like the teething or biting or baby being sick. Those are the most common. But they do even say here, sometimes you might never know why it happens. Yeah. We can guess why it happens. Sometimes it's kind of out of the blue that all of a sudden your baby's kind of refusing things. Sometimes I see this where people think it's a nursing strike, but what really is happening is babies are trying to like change up the way they feed, you know, as they get a little bit older. And we tend to be very regimented and scheduled. You know, I have very rarely do I meet a parent who is not tracking every feeding on their phone or on an app. And they're like, you know, every couple hours, like clockwork, you're, you know, feeding your baby, because when they're newborns, that's what you're supposed to do. But then as your baby gets a little bit older, sometimes they don't care about that. You know, sometimes babies are like, you know what, I can stretch it out a little bit. They start taking more volume. Some babies do stretch out their feeds. They might go a little bit longer between feedings. So you are used to that every couple hours and you just automatically go and get them to feed them when you think it's time, because that's what the app says. But your baby's like, I'm not ready for this yet. So it's like, it kind of becomes this like, are they on a nursing strike? What's happening? I'm trying to feed them. They're not eating. They're resisting. They're distracted. You know, like a lot of times people don't realize how distracted babies can become when they get to be like 3-4 months old. The distraction might look like a nursing strike as well. Very, very common. So sometimes we just have to look at it and be like, okay, what developmental stage is our baby in right now, too? What is happening here that could be interrupting their nursing patterns? Because that could be the biggest thing. It might not be that they're necessarily trying to give you a nursing strike as they're trying to just like follow developmentally what their body is doing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we did an episode very recently on teething. And I don't know, did we talk about nursing strikes in that episode? I don't know if we did.
I don't think we did.
Cool. Because nursing,
we can talk about it now.
I know. Look at that bonus. Because nursing strikes really can happen with teething. And a lot of times that's the first thing I usually ask when a mom tells me is that the baby's kind of not nursing well or on a nursing strike, or they've been dealing with a nursing strike for so many days. And I'll be like, are they teething? Like, yeah, they've got a couple that are coming up yeah. and, you know, right now. And it's like, okay, that's probably what it is. It's painful for them. You know, like the pressure on their gums might be really sensitive. Their gums might be really sensitive. They might just have a lot of discomfort with nursing, but bottles might not be as uncomfortable for them for whatever reason. So you might just have to kind of like roll with it until those teeth pop up, or do the little things that we always say about biting. Give them something icy to chew on first. Let their gums kind of get a little bit, you know, if you give them something icy, like icy washcloth, icy something, breast milk popsicles, something like that, that can kind of numb their gums a little bit, ice them up a little bit, that might help for them to feed and not bite. But
that might help that to kind of get you. When people were putting whiskey on their baby's gums.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Know, just rubbing it on there because it numbs it.
Mm-hmm.
Josh has this like chronic tooth thing that comes up every like couple of years. And that's when he goes to the store and he gets whiskey and he just like soaks it in the back of his mouth.
Oh my like, God. And it works?
Forget seeing a dentist. We'll just do that until it goes away.
Oh my God.
But people used to do that. They would like seriously put whiskey on their baby's gums to numb it.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it.
No, that might not have been the best thing back in the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, people didn't know any better.
We turned out fine.
We did. We turned out fine. I wonder if our parents did that to us.
I don't think my parents did. Although I watched my grandmother when my sister was a baby. She was like crawling around and sitting up age. So, you know, I don't know. 9 months, let's say.
Yeah, 6, 9 months. Yeah.
She would just like crawl around and crawl up to my grandma, and my grandma would stick her finger in her beer and put it in, and my sister would like drink it off her finger. She would just do that over and over again. And I'm like, I don't know if she's supposed to be drinking beer when she's 9 months.
What was the point? Just to like,
just because there was no point.
So at least with the whiskey, it's like, okay, it helps with the gums.
I know. At least there was a point. Yeah, this was just, and then she threw up.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. But my dad too, I remember when I was like 3 years old, I would go up to my dad's beer and be like, can I have a sip? And he would be like, sure. He would say, don't leave floaters. Like, don't backwash into it.
Yeah.
That was his only rule. But I could drink his beer. Yeah.
I remember doing that with my dad with his like scotch and soda when I was like young. I don't know. Yeah. Young. Uh-huh. I'd be like, oh, can I taste that? Can I have a sip? And he would always give me a sip. I don't know.
Ay, ay, ay.
I know. Anyway. It. Things we've lived through.
I know. How are we still
things,
here?
I know. It's so funny. Reminds me of a story from my childhood, but I won't tell it.
You won't?
Well, all right, so I will. So, and this has nothing to do with nursing strikes. I'm sorry that we're so off on a tangent.
No, it's, you know, we have to talk.
It was kind of funny.
Entertainment.
Yes, it is entertainment. So we were at a family wedding. I was probably about 14 years old. We were at a family wedding and I was drinking like ginger ale or something like that. And it was flat. So it was kind of gross.
Yeah.
So, and it was like an open bar. So I was like, I'm going to go see if they have like, I don't know, Coke or whatever. So I go up to the bar and I was by myself and the girl next to me was trying to get a drink, and the bartender wouldn't give it to her because she didn't have an ID. And she was like, it's in my other purse, I swear, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, nope, whatever. So he looks at me and he's like, what can I get you? And I said, what do you have other than ginger ale? And he starts like naming all these mixed drinks off to me. So I guess I looked like I was of age. And I was like, oh, I'll have a scotch and soda. And because that's what my dad used to give me, right? Yeah. Like, so I was like, I'll have scotch and soda. So he's like, okay. So he gives it to me. And I go back to the table with it. And I'm like drinking it. And my dad looks at me and goes, what are you drinking? And I go, scotch and soda. Where'd you get that? I got it from the bartender. He's like, give me that. And I'm like, I was like, he gave it to me. It was fine. But
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
There's all kinds of story. Yeah. That happened to my sister one time too when she was 16.
Yeah.
So I was like, do you want a glass of wine? I'm like, she's 16. He was like, oh.
So no, she doesn't want a glass of wine. So, all right. So we'll get back on track here. Maybe we'll hear from our sponsors and then we'll get back on track of what you can do about these nursing strikes. Because now we've had our students. Yes. So there we go.
We're here to educate and entertain at times.
Educate and entertain.
That's you know, you can click the little fast forward button if you really have to. But not through the ads, because you got to hear this. We'll be right back.
You got to hear the ads.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Better Milk Banana. So you know that fat from your breast milk that goes to the top and just gathers there and then it sticks to the side of the bottle? That's the good stuff. And you shake it, and it won't come off? Yeah. Well, the Better Milk Banana is the perfect tool for depositing it back into your milk and ensuring that your baby gets every drop of that liquid gold. The Better Milk Banana is a spatula custom designed by a pumping mom, allowing you to scrape that fat back into your milk. No more shaking or heating required. Just a quick swipe and your baby gets all the benefits of your pumping efforts. You can head to bananajams.com, banana-jams.com, BANANA-JAMS.com. Or you could check them out at Shop Banana Jams on Instagram and check them out there for more details and see what it looks like and all of that. And you can use code BADASS for 20% off of your purchase of the Better Milk Banana. And today's episode is also brought to you by Sarah's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Tons of expensive landfill plastic and short-term products are so yesterday. Created by a mom for moms, Sarah's Chill knows how important every ounce of breast milk is. Their epic freezer storage system called the Milk Stash is the solution to all freezer stash problems. No more leaking bags, wasted milk, or crammed, disorganized freezer spaces. The Milk Stash freezes milk in perfectly portioned half-ounce cubes, so you can easily defrost the exact amount of milk you need for a bottle without washing an entire bag. Wasting an entire bag. You don't have to wash a bag. Come on. Without wasting an entire bag. It's space-saving, easy to clean, and great for teething nets. Awesome. The Milk Stash is FSA, HSA. I don't know why I always find that hard to say. FSA, HSA. It's really hard. But that's your insurance. That means insurance. Yeah. So
yep.
You can file through your insurance for the, you know, the payment of these things. It's FSA, HSA reimbursable and lasts a lifetime. Use it for frozen baby food purees, fruit infused cubes, or jello shots for the block party after your journey is over.
Always thinking that, Lisa. She's always thinking.
They're just, you know, they're all really on it. Like the long-term use of these things, though, is important because you're spending money on it. This is truly breast milk storage reimagined. Head over to Sarah's Chill, that's CeresChill.com, or you can check them out on Instagram for more details, and you can use code BADASS for 15% off. And they have that double-walled stainless steel chiller thing. And I use that when it's 100 degrees and we go to the park, I put ice water in it I mean, perfect. It's just ice water. Like 8 hours later, it's still icy and the kids fight over it and it's really fun.
I love my chiller.
Yeah. Oh, so you can find all of these sponsors and the promo codes in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. You can also find them at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. That's where you'll find all of our over 300 episodes, as well as our shop page and other things, and especially information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Okay, so I can tell you one thing not to do, and then we're going to go into these things that you can try.
Okay.
But sometimes I'll hear people say, and sometimes it comes from, you know, it could come from your mother, it could come from another parent, it can come from your medical professional, whatever. They say, when the baby's hungry enough, they'll go back on. Just let the baby get hungry. Just starve them and they'll go back on. That's not the answer to a nursing strike.
What a great...
I know. It's like not good advice. Like, oh, just once they're hungry, babies aren't going to let themselves starve. Once they're hungry, they'll go on. Like, there's a reason for this. They're not just trying to be manipulative and difficult.
Yeah, it's not a power struggle. This is not the power struggle of toddler aged, you know, and beyond.
Right.
Something is wrong. If they are, your baby wants to nurse. Your baby is born to nurse. Your baby doesn't want to do anything but nurse.
That's all they've done.
Yes. And if they're not nursing, something is wrong. They're not rejecting you. They're not ready to wean. They're not, you know, just prefer the bottle. Something is wrong if they're not nursing.
Yeah. And like we said, you might not figure out what it is, and that's okay. But the important thing is getting them back to the breast, making sure they're fed, for one thing. So don't starve them until they go back on. So making sure that they're fed and making sure that you're protecting your milk supply and trying to get them back to the breast. Those are the things to really concentrate on, not like, oh, what could be causing it? Because yes, we want to know what could be causing it because we're just naturally curious. But it is important to try to figure, you know, you try to get them back to the breast. You might not ever know because your baby can't tell you. So you might not ever know. So trying to relax, concentrate on making breastfeeding a pleasant experience. I always tell people lots of skin to skin, lots of cuddling, maybe take a bath with your baby. Sometimes that really helps to get them back onto the breast. There's something about the water and the calming and the skin to skin with, you know, with your baby that can help to get them back on the breast again. Try not to stress about it. And I usually tell people that too, which I know is like so easy for me to say, but when your baby's having a nursing strike, everybody panics and that's not going to help anything. The baby is going to like, if you're like all stressed out and you're like, oh my God, the baby's not going to nurse, then, you know, the baby's going to be like, oh my God, my mom's all stressed out. But it's just going to be like one thing after another with that. Lower the lights, play calming music, maybe some white noise, things that you know are very calming to your baby. Nurse them as they're kind of like sleepy, maybe just waking up or when they fall asleep, you know, with a nice, like maybe movement, some rocking,
or some side-lying while they're,
some side-lying while they're kind of sleeping. Breastfeeding is, it says here too, I love the way this is worded. As we drift to sleep or awaken, we are in more of a primitive state of mind. And since breastfeeding is a survival behavior for babies, sometimes they revert to feeding well at this time. So we're going back to our primitive state when they're sleeping. We're kind of tapping into that primitive baby state. Vary the nursing positions, maybe try a different position. Maybe your baby's uncomfortable in the position that you've been feeding them in all of a sudden. So maybe, you know, switch up the position and that might help. Try side lying, try laid back, you know, try a different position and see if that helps with them. Mm-hmm. Nurse when in motion. That is one that I do like and I do recommend because babies like that movement. So maybe putting them in a carrier or a sling, lots of connection, lots of keeping them on you all the time. And then try to nurse them while you're moving around, while you're rocking, while you're walking, because that babies really do like that movement. It's very calming for them. So you might find that they nurse a little bit better in that position too. Keeps going back to like lots of skin to skin contact, keep them in a carrier or a sling or something like that all the time. Like even between nursing sessions, keep them close to you, keep them like at your chest all the time, because that can help as well. Some people will just kind of like stay topless.
Yeah.
You know, like when they're home with the baby, when they're playing with the baby, that way, you know, if baby wants to nurse, you can just put them on right away and very easily.
Or you can put like a button down shirt on. This is good too. Like if you have sore nipples too, like keep like a button down shirt on, or cut like a t-shirt, some kind of comfy shirt, cut it all the way down the front. And then like if the door rings or you have to go out and get something or whatever, you don't want like your boobs hanging out, you can just like tie it shut or button it. But yeah, then you can easily just open it and have your baby in there. Stay tuned for more tips from Abby.
You know, Abby's got the tips. Nurse in a dark room, free from distractions. So this is where, like when I was talking earlier about distracted babies, you know, like distracted babies can really kind of mimic a nursing strike sometimes, because they'll go on, they might nurse for a second, they come off, they fight you, they want to get off your lap, they're trying to move around. A lot of that is just being distracted. And that starts to happen usually like 4-ish months or so. Every once in a while, I'll see a baby at like 3 months, but anywhere, you know, 3-4 months on, that you might see some of that distraction. So ways to combat that is going into a dark, quiet room where there is less distractions, maybe some white noise. There's no television, there's no dogs barking, there's no cat moving around. Like, you know, things that are going to distract your baby are not around you. So that might be a little bit better. Maybe, you know, rock them, dark room, see if they kind of go on that way. Stimulate your letdown before putting your baby on. So do a little bit of hand expressing, get your letdown. So that way there's milk right there for them right away when they start nursing. If you know, right before you offer them the breast. Sleeping in the same bed. So co-sleeping, bed sharing, keeping them right there with you all the time, so that if they want a nurse, you're right there.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much like all the things from La Leche League that they're saying work really well. Things that I usually tell people are pretty much the same kind of thing. You know, I usually ask a lot of questions, want to find out, like, is your baby distracted? Are they teething? Like, what is happening? If they're teething, we go through all the little things that you can do to help them stay comfortable with teething. Sometimes it is just a matter of time. You know, it's a matter of time. It's just trying the little things day after day, offering, but not pushing it. You know, if you're offering and your baby is fussing and crying and not wanting it, then okay, then we move on. Not forcing it, not making it a difficult experience, not making it upsetting. That's why, I mean, your baby loves, and a lot of, I had one mom where the nursing strike, baby was in a nursing strike and would just cry if she offered, but they want to be snuggly and with you. You know, they want to be, they want that skin to skin time. They want to sleep with you. They want to be with you all the time. They want to be connected to you. But then you go to nurse them and they fuss. So it's kind of like you feel like you do. It does feel like you're being rejected.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if they've been going for so long without eating, you're panicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes in those situations, like, and then we just give a bottle because it's like, oh, but it's been 3 hours, so let me just give him a bottle instead. And that's a situation where I'm like, well, maybe the baby just needs to go a little bit longer. And that's different than saying, oh, make them starve. It could be, I'm not saying make them starve. That's not what I'm saying. But it could be that your baby wants to go 3.5 hours. Maybe they want to stretch it out to 4. Maybe they're just not ready. Sometimes I'll have, and usually that's a situation where people say the baby feeds great overnight, but during the day, they're just not. They're on the nursing strike during the day. That's distraction, or that's your baby trying to stretch out their feeds. It's not, and that's not necessarily like a big, like a true nursing strike. I don't want to say it's not traumatic because it still is.
Mm-hmm.
But a nursing strike is really when your baby just won't go on at any time of the day at all. But if they're at least nursing for you at night, that's something we can work with.
Yeah, that's, yeah. If they're nursing at night, that's not a nursing strike.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a nursing strike is really they're just not nursing at all.
Right. Yeah, that's right? What a nursing strike is. Yeah. Yep. Not at all. Not at night, not in the morning. Not at all. And they're just kind of like, they're just not interested. They act like they're not interested. They act like you try to put them on and they cry. Or they just want nothing to do with it. That is a nursing strike.
Yeah. I had somebody messaging me recently that the baby had been sick. And she was like, we're better now. And the baby's still not nursing. What's going on? And I'm like, well, you know, I know that you don't have symptoms anymore, but like, it's possible that your baby still doesn't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we don't know when the baby is, like, we know when we feel better, but like, we don't necessarily know when they're feeling all the way better. Maybe they're, whatever obvious symptom they were having has stopped, but they could just still not be feeling well. And I was just kind of asking her, is it possible that the baby's really not all the way better yet and maybe still congested or maybe still having difficulty breathing while nursing because of that whole thing, and or just kind of still fussy? She was like, yeah, actually, I think I probably just need to give it more time. She might not be all the way better yet.
Aww.
So because,
baby.
You know, like we are like, our symptoms are gone and we're like, all right, back to work, back to, you know, we just got to go, go, go. A baby is just like, no, I just don't feel good.
Yeah. And yeah, it is when you don't feel, you don't want to eat that much. And I mean, definitely watch for, you know, signs of dehydration, less diapers, things like that in a situation like that. But, I mean, you're obviously still feeding them somehow, some way, which brings me to my next thing is if your baby is not nursing and you're offering bottles, make sure you're doing paced bottle feeding. That is really important. Make sure you are doing the paced bottle feeding so that your baby's not getting flooded with milk every second and feeding super fast. And, you know, it's really important to do that paced bottle feeding. We have lots of episodes on it. If you're not sure what it is, all paced bottle feeding is slowing down that feed. You are slowing down the bottle. So you're letting them have a couple of sucks out the bottle and then you're taking the bottle out of their mouth. Let them pause for a second, putting the bottle back in if they want to take it. But that's the point of it. They're not overfeeding by bottle when you're paced bottle feeding, and they're not getting it too fast when you're paced bottle feeding. So that's super important to be doing. Super important to be doing. And then just kind of like make sure that you are pumping. If your baby is not latching, make sure that you're pumping. I know that's not like what you want to be doing, but we need to, you know, protect your milk supply until we get baby back to the breast. And babies do not, a lot of times, you know, like when I hear somebody say, oh, my baby's weaned themselves at 10 months. That's a baby who had a nursing strike over teething, would be my guess. That would totally be my guess what that was. Babies do not self-wean that young. They just don't. And they will go back to the breast once they're over whatever their strike is about. They will go back. Like, I'm really confident about that. But they don't self-wean at the age of 10 months.
No.
No. Babies want a nurse. So they're definitely not going to do that. So yeah. What else you got on that? Anything else on that?
No, I just think it's really, no, I don't. I just think it's, if the baby is not nursing, something's wrong. Because they want a nurse. But a lot of times we feel like they don't want a nurse. But no, they do. So if they're not nursing and they're acting like they don't want a nurse, something is wrong.
And they might seem perfectly normal and fine to you, but we have to look at all the things. You know, and we know like, oh, if they have some teething, their teeth are coming in. We know that that's probably what's going on with them. And that is a lot of the time what's happening. But they'll get past it. They get past whatever the strike is about and then they go back on. But the important thing is it's usually harder on the parent because the parent is the one that's, oh my God, my baby's not going to nurse. And, you know, you kind of go into every feeding really wondering like, is this going to be the time when they're going to nurse or are they going to reject me again and I got to pump and bottle feed. The important thing is to really stay as strong as you can about it And I know that's really hard to do, but your baby will go back. They really do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little longer than you think, but, and sometimes nursing strikes can last a little longer than you expect them to, but they will go back once they're over whatever it is their strike was about. And I don't even like the word like nursing strike.
I know.
Sounds like your baby's on the picket line.
Right. Like they're choosing not to nurse. Like,
right.
It's not they're not choosing, really.
Yeah. Like something else is happening there. So I don't really like that word. We should think of something else.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's about it. But I will link this La Leche League article in case anybody wants to read it. Because it's got some good, you know, some good, we've talked about the suggestions, but in case you want to look back on it, I will link it in the show notes.
Sweet. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.